CFYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop? Transformers! Defenders of
truth! Robots who fight in disguise! Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 214, recorded August 26, 2016. I am your host, Deron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
And Sergio Garcia.
Hey, everyone.
Kind of a small cast tonight. We don't plan on going too long tonight. And I do apologize for the extremely late start, but Google... Is of course giving us trouble, like it seems to be a lot lately. I noticed that they're also getting ready to change some things over, so we're looking into alternative ways to actually do this broadcast down the road. Hopefully it won't interrupt anything, but if it does, we will let you know. But rest assured, TFYLP will continue in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. it's just right now, tin cans and string is looking like the best option.
Anything better than Google, I tell you. It's crazy. But, you know, we can't complain too much. I mean, it is free. So, I mean, I just hope that the alternative way actually works. Once we get it going, I know this way here, ever since we've been doing this, occasionally we'll run into issues. I remember a couple years ago, we had the issue every now and then, some actual cast members couldn't even get into the hangout here. Like Dawn.
It was just the little thing would just sit there and shimmy for 10 minutes and it would never complete the connection. It was just,
although it might've had something with you, something to do with you running Windows 95. I don't know.
hey, Windows 98. And I stopped that back in 2011 when I got my new computer.
Oh my God.
I got 12 years out of Windows 98 on dial up internet.
Oh.
I think I got my money's worth out of that computer.
Oh. Yeah, you might have.
Whenever a new figure would pop up on TFW, he'd learn about it 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
By the time it took to load.
I would go check my Lee's action figure and toy review to see what new was out.
He'd pull up the Super Clear Pix thread on TFW and then go and watch Avatar. And whenever he come back, one page would be loaded.
I used to have to do that on YouTube. I would start a video at like 11:30 at night when the traffic was low, and then get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and watch a 20-minute video and then go back to bed.
Oh, I remember those days. My first modem was a 14.4K.
Mine was a 2600.
Baud?
It was an IBM PS1.
Windows, I remember it was a
Windows 3.1.
Global. I had an old Apple Macintosh, and it was like a Global Village teleport or something other. It was about the modem itself was like about that long. It was a crazy looking device, and all those noises. You've seen the AOL, you know, dial-up stuff. I remember those noises. Yeah, Sergio, you don't remember those, do you?
My first internet was Net Zero when it was still a thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, when the internet was meant to be free. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually know some people who were actually web TV users.
Yeah, my old boss from my very first job at Public Supermarkets in Florida, my boss, he was a web TV user. He would just laud it so much. He's like, this is the future of the internet. And I'm like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can sit on my couch and do it on my TV. It's like, guess what? That's what my laptop's for now. You know, let's get to talking about Transformers. That's what we're here for. It's why it's called Transformers, for your listening pleasure. We talk about Transformers, transforming robots, and other mecha that are kind of similar to it, kind of like, you know, Voltron. You know. I got to say, something we're talking about tonight is something that every collector deals with, and that's impulse buying. Impulse buying.
You don't say. Really?
Yeah. But for those of us, Don, since you might have an idea, just a slight inkling of what this is, can you tell the listeners who might not be entirely sure what impulse buying is, tell them what it is.
Impulse buying is you being an idiot. You know, basically,
just being blunt, huh?
Yeah, but being blunt, it's something you don't plan on buying. You didn't have any plans on buying. You thought, okay, I don't need this when it comes out. You walk by the shelf, it's out, and you still go buy it.
In other words, ooh, shiny.
Yes, but basically, we're all of us collectors are giant human ravens who see something new and then pick it up, and then we wonder 6 months later. Like for most of Energon, why did we buy this?
Well, and then there's Supreme Class Cheetor.
All right, okay. Well, I use my Supreme Class Cheetor to beat down the problem that the Google Plus was having, which is the only good use for that toy is to beat things with. It's like, for example, an impulse buy that I had this week, which was ironic that you used for the picture. Was Ground Pounder.
Like this?
Yes.
That was my impulse buy for today.
Yes. But the thing of it is, though, this impulse buy worked out very well because I love this little figure. He's not as poseable as Fix-It. Fix-It, I think, is still one of the best small Legends figures they've ever done as far as show accuracy, but Ground Pounder's nice. But I have bought stuff, you know, that... You know, I bought a Boba Fett from the Assemblers line, the Star Wars Masters line, because it was pretty cool. And then I got it home and I thought, I have the white Walgreens Boba Fett. At the time, I had the regular release Black Series Boba Fett. Why did I buy this? I don't need it. And I really couldn't. If I asked myself why I bought that, I had no answer. So I told him why I'm taking it back, you know, just to be honest. I don't know. It's just I hadn't seen one in a while. It did look pretty neat. And then I realized I got two Boba Fetts I haven't opened up. And I'm not that big of a Star Wars fan anymore. It's just if you live through Power of the Force in the mid-90s, you got so burned out on Star Wars. I've never recovered. Other than Star Wars crossover Transformers, I have bought very little Star Wars in the past decade because of living through Power of the Force. But yeah, that's impulse buying. Just
well, you know, I experienced that today. I went into local Target today, and my intentions were to find and buy a Titans Return Rewind. And lo and behold, it was the only legend size toy that they had as far as the Titan Returns lines go.
There's a bunch of them in my area.
Yeah, it was the first one I'd seen in the wild, and I picked him up, and then look up, and there's Groundbuster, and I'm like, ooh, shiny, and I'm like, oh, $5, you know. And I grabbed it. They had Bisp too, and I'm like, I'll pick him up later, you know.
Well, he's getting the Warrior class, so well, it's also the fact is with RID, since we have absolutely no idea how that line is going to even progress past a certain point right now, because it's basically the line that Hasbro never talks about. So seeing it, if you get it, if you like it and you want it, you might want to get it now, because there's no telling what's going to happen with that line.
Yeah, I mean it's hit and miss. I mean, the Robots in Disguise line for me is I'm all about the Decepticons in it, and the Autobots I really don't even care about. I really don't.
Well, you know, I like some of the Autobots, but I think the Decepticons, especially Thunderhoof, you know,
Thunderhoof, he's my favorite. And again, impulse buys. I have so many of I have virtually every one of the little Scout Legend guys from RID 2.0, and
granted, the Legion class size has come such a long way in the past 2 or 3 years. Ever since the first movie, you know, the first or second movie, and we got, you know, a decent amount of Legend and Legion class size figures, they have come such a long way that they really are marvels of engineering in some cases. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, you have RID Windblade, which is just no.
Yeah, I've heard it's garbage. That's the only one I've passed on so far. But you know, impulse buying, you know, Rick Alvarez told me pre-show, he said, tell people that I impulse buy troop builders. You know, it's like
tell our listeners what he's troop building right now, just in
right
case
now he know. Is troop building Titans Return Scourge and his sweeps times 100.
Now, hopefully he's using a Takara Scourge as Scourge, because Melvar from RFC is doing the same thing, but he's only getting like 4 or 5 of the Hasbros for sweeps.
Yeah,
and he's getting Takara Scourge as Scourge.
I'm going to get 3 myself whenever I can, but I've already sent Rick 2 Scourges, and today, let me pull this up on the TFYLP group. So our video viewers can actually see it. If you're not a member of the TFYLP group, Don, this would be a great time to point out how you can reach us live via the show, and also talk about our sponsors.
Right. Okay. Well, you can reach us on Twitter at TFYLP. That'll catch our attention. Or you can use the hashtag TFYLP. I'm sure that'll flag as well. I can be reached at HMRC, the number 4 EVR, on Twitter as well. You can also go to the TFYLP public page and post there for any comments or questions that you may have. We may answer them on the show. How about you, Sergio? How can they get in touch with you?
Mainly through Facebook. Okay. I'm usually posting on the TFYLP page pretty often. If you see me there, feel free to send me a friend request or just say hello.
Yeah. And, of course, you can reach Duron through the TFYLP on indicators on Twitter, on Facebook, and on the Facebook page as well. Sponsors, you know, if you want an impulse buy, or we talk about something that you hadn't thought about getting, like, say, Ground Pounder, check out Captured Prey. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com, one of our great sponsors. If you're looking for something vintage, or maybe something just a little more weird, check out Mega Toy Fan on Facebook. Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection, minimize your price. Mega Toy Fan, he's at all the greatest shows throughout the U.S. So just message him on Facebook, check out his webpage, and let him know if you're looking for something odd, unique, or something impulse.
Yep. And if you're trying to piece stuff together, I'm sure he can help you do that too, because he's helped me a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Today, I come across this in the same Target that I found my my Rewind in the Ground Buster today. Lo and behold, had these.
Yeah, I saw that. It's like, really?
Yeah, for our audio listeners, it's a picture from our TFYLP Facebook group. I found 4, count them, 4, Transformers Prime sealed deluxes. There were 2 Viacons, a Sergeant Cup, and a Decepticon Rumble just laying on the shelf.
Wow.
As you can see there's Titan Returns hanging on the shelf, RID 2.0, and then there's 2 Viacons right there. My girlfriend is holding. He's like, wow.
But I'll be honest, as good as that Viacon mold still is to this day, I mean, it still holds up real well. The only story I got that even comes close to that is this chain that I worked for a couple years ago in the after Christmas cleanup. This was, I would say, 4 or 5 years ago. There was a Universe 1.0 Snarl on the shelf.
Wow.
I don't know where it came from. I never saw it before. It just showed up one day, and I scanned it. $14.96.
Wow.
I don't know. Apparently, it traveled through time, apparently.
But, yeah, I walked up on the shelf, and my girlfriend, she noticed them right away, and she's like, what are these? Because she's been with me long enough to see, you know, what I collect and what the packaging looks like. And the packaging on them was different from the things that were on the shelf then. And she's like, what are these? And I saw Viacons. I'm like, no. And there were four red or prime deluxes laying on the shelf. I scanned them and they came up, item not found. So when they asked me at the desk or at the counter, I said, $10. Okay. They just posted it $10. So, yeah. But I think that's actually about what they were, weren't they? Before they started hiking the prices up.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's when they started going up to like 12 or 13. They were inching up around that time. It's just, it's hard to remember because they went up in a lot of places. Then they were on sale for a while at a lot of places. Then they went back up. So it was between 9 and 12, 9 and 13 that I remember anyway.
Yeah. Impulse buying is something that every collector encounters. I've done it. I've been an adult collector for 16, going on 17 years now. Don, since
slightly Fred, longer said,
since before Fred Flintstone was in diapers. You never really stop. Yeah. Let's be frank with it. I mean, never really stop. There's ways you can curb your
enthusiasm.
Impulse buying. Yeah, well, impulse buying. I mean, but it takes a lot of restraint.
Well, yeah. Part of it is also the fact is, in every toy fandom, whether it's Hot Wheels or Marvel or DC or whatever, there's cycles which will go through where there's no new product coming out. The old product you've seen forever, you're waiting for it to go on clearance for something either you kind of want but don't want to pay full price for. But then something new comes out. It may not be something you want, but it's something new. And it's like, yes, something new. And then you realize, I really didn't want this, but it's something new.
Mm-hmm. And I think you're hitting the nail right on the head there. And that defines the what. Whenever you ask, what is impulse buying? It defines the what. It is basically, as a collector, you have this desire for something new, something to fill the void in your collection, something to fill the void in your need for something new. And let's face it again, that is something we all encounter. We're looking for something we need. And whenever we get the release doldrums, I guess is what you could call it, when there's, like you said, nothing new coming out for a while. I mean, sometimes you get literally months between lines. I know Dark of the Moon, between Dark of the Moon and I think Reveal the Shield.
Oh,
it seemed like there were eons going by, you know.
And here's the weird thing. I found my Reveal the Shield. I found that wave with Tracks and Jazz at Kmart, of all places, at least 3 weeks before they showed up anywhere else.
Yeah, it's
something
that, you know, you get these opportunities to get something new, whether it be online or in a brick and mortar. How many of you have actually, you go out, you go toy hunting, and you simply just cannot find anything you really, really want. And then you come home and you go online and, well, let's see what we can find on here. You find yourself on eBay Capture Prey, you know, BBTS, some anywhere, or any of those places, and
or one of the most dangerous, one of the most dangerous websites on earth, Manadrake.
Mm. Yeah, or yeah. Taobao, or one of those, any of those places. You find something, and you're like, "Wow, that's a really good price," and find yourself clicking buy. You know, and even at conventions, I've done it at conventions. You know, you have just. You know, you have certain things you're looking for, and you walk by, and you're like, ooh, I haven't seen that, or I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah, or it's stuff like, it's stuff that you wanted at one point, and then you just sort of forgot about it.
Yeah.
And it was like a couple of years ago, I had a chance to buy that Family Mart Clear Revenge of the Fallen Leader Class Optimus for about $175, and I hee-hauled, and I just basically talked myself out of it, and then it was sold.
You hee-hawed. You searched the world over.
Yeah.
You think you found true love?
Love? Yeah, I hee-hawed. Yes, yes. But while I was out in the cornfield debating on that, where I get most of my jokes, by the way. And last year at St. Charles BotCon, the Japanese dealer had one for $100. And he was given 80 in trade for the beat chip. The Insectica, the shrapnel recolor, that was the diaclone insect.
Mm-hmm.
I said, toy that was free, $80, Dakar exclusive. Guess what I did? So but I had wrote off getting Optimus because it was so expensive after I lost that chance. So it's stuff that, you know, I've picked up Visionaries. You know, just stuff that I wanted, Visionary bits and pieces, or I picked up a couple of the 2000X He-Man figures at a BotCon that I completely forgot I wanted until I saw them again.
And, you know, that's another thing, too, is impulse buying things that you once wanted, either couldn't find or put it off to later. And then later on you're, like, reminded of it, and then you go back and find it. And ultimately, what impulse buying is something that you don't necessarily focus on in your collection. And unless you're just one of those that got to, just like Pokemon, you got to catch them all. And if it says Transformers on the package, you buy it. You know, which, admittedly, whenever I first started Transformer collecting as an adult, if it was a Transformer on the and it was an actual toy, not like, you know, I'm not so much into memorabilia, but if it was a Transformer on the shelf, I'd buy it. I don't care if it looked crappy to me, I would buy it. Except for maybe like the Beast Machines deployers or something other. I didn't care for those. But yeah, Don just rolls his eyes.
Well, no. Actually, I bought the blue Rav to go with my Cryotech because I kind of had to have him.
But, you know, I mean, it got to the point where I had to catch them all. And then I got to the point where I was looking at my collection and it was getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it just burgeoned to this size that I couldn't maintain it. I was doing good with keeping up with what I had. But the moment whenever I did, like what you said, Don, I went to a store, bought something, and forgot that I even had the damn thing already. And when you get to that point, you get home, and you're like, oh, man, now I have three of these. Because that's the way I bought back then. I bought one to open, one to keep sealed.
Yeah.
And then you buy it again, and you're like, I don't even remember buying it the first two times.
I found
that's when impulse buying gets a little bit too far.
Yeah. I remember finding a Toy Biz Hulkbuster from their Legendary Rider wave. I literally do not remember buying it. I honestly do not even remember. I've sold it since. It's just, and one thing about impulse buying is any line you collect is going to be a problem. But if you collect multiple lines, it's even worse because they're running opposite each other in a lot of cases. So you'll be in a drought in one line, but then another line you collect comes out with something new, and it may not even be your primary line.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, just that makes it even worse.
And you know, it's easy to look at your collection and like, why did I buy that? You know, I don't need that. I have so many other things. My main focus of my collection, and that's something that we need to talk about here too, is what is the focus of your collection? And identifying what is an impulse buy, and also identifying whether or not you actually want that toy. It can make it very easy for you to, okay, well, I didn't want that toy to begin with. Do I really need it? It can help you clear out space for stuff that you do want, and also get you money for stuff that you want, because I'm sure there's people out there that want what you want, unless it's, you know, more of stuff like this, you know, that's commonplace. But, and I held up the ground pound or ground buster, for those of you who wonder what I held up. But identifying what you collect and then looking at your collection and like, okay, that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit. Now, and that goes without saying, there are things in there that might not be your main focus of collecting, but it's something that you also enjoy that you might not have intended to buy, but you still want it. And it's not necessarily something you go, it's something you have to go out of your way to get.
Well, actually, I've got a good example of that, Dura. I do not have a Nintendo Wii. I cannot play Infinity. I have no desire to have one. But I do like a lot of the figures, and I've bought the figures just for display because there's no visibly superior counterpart like Zootopia. I love Zootopia, so I bought the Nick and the Judy.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, it's a great movie. You know, I like Big Hero 6, so I bought the Hero and the Baymax. I like Hulkbuster armor, so I bought the Hulkbuster figure. But I have no desire to play the game. But I don't want to get rid of these because they're such great representations, a little simplistic, but they look so good, I don't want to give them up. But I also don't want to buy more than just a few that I like.
Yeah.
But now that they're ending Infinity, that's not much of a point.
You know, and I'm saying, you know, impulse buys are not something that fits into a small niche part of your collection. You know, like for me, for example, the main focus of my collection is Masterpiece and Masterpiece style, you know, third party Masterpiece style. That is the main focus of my collection. And secondary is Combiner Wars / Titan Returns. It's getting to be a bigger part of my collection, but, and then there's also, the odd G2 stuff. You know, I like the accelerators, the cyber jets. I'm real big fans of those. Some of the really interesting things, those are like a sub collection. And then I have, like you can see over my right shoulder right now, some of my Weird Beasts collection, which technically right now I'm thinking about axing. You know, I've got my Taco Tank, my Diver with Niagara base. You know, I've got
Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I've got you know, Apache. You know, just some of the weird beasts. The weird beast that was released in the Beast Wars line. You know, Break the Penguin, Dead End the Mollusk. You know, I just like that stuff, and that's not impulse buy. Impulse buy is something that is generally cheap and really doesn't add to anything in your collection. Although by the time you finish, you might have a whole collection. It's like these little RID Legion guys, you know, I've got a whole bunch of these little suckers and not a single one of them I set out to actually get, you know, they're just, it's just like I was in a store, happened to see it. Ooh, that's cheap. I'm going to get it. And that's essentially what it is, you know, and I've actually went online and got stuff like this before just because. Sergio, I mean, what's your thoughts on this?
This whole week was an impulse buy for me. There's a lot of stuff that I shouldn't have bought, but I did. Most notably, last weekend, I was working Comic-Con for my new job, and my boss was like, well, you know, it's kind of slow. You know, it was getting towards the end of the day. So he told me, you know, we can walk around for a little bit. So I went on the dealer floor. And I went to a booth that had a whole bunch of Transformers, and I found a G2 Bruticus Combiner Wars set, and it was like $85, which is cheaper than finding it online, other than like the Amazon sale.
Was it new or was it
already? Yeah, sealed. Oh, wow. Sealed in the box. And I stood there for a good 5 minutes, like, okay, trying to do math in my head. Like, if I buy it, how much will I have for the rest of the week? And I ended up doing probably the worst thing I could have
done. How much do I like ramen noodles?
Pretty much.
That's the ultimate question every collector has asked at least one time. How much do I like ramen noodles?
Pretty much. Or how much bologna can I take before I go crazy? Yeah. So I put it on credit, which is never – this is even worse for impulse buys because if you have multiple impulse buys on credit, you could put yourself in a really bad hole.
Yeah.
So I put it on credit and, you know, I kind of regretted it later, but as soon as I opened it, that regret went away because it's such a fantastic set. Those colors are amazing in person.
And he's a Dudicus.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Bruticus, big battle in Bruticus.
And then, like, the Tuesday after on my way to work, somebody messaged, like, the Transformers group chat we have and said that G2 Superion was on Target.com for $65, and I was like,
oh, wow.
But $65, I'm not going to find it for a better price. $65 shipped? No way I'm going to find it for a better price. So no. I bought that, too. And usually for me, impulse buys, it's all about the price. It depends on the price. If it's a good price, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah. And that's like me at cons. You know, if I'm looking for something in specific, for example, the Year of the Goat Soundwave masterpiece. You know, I kind of wanted it, but it wasn't something that I actually needed for my collection. I already had the Year of the Goat Soundwave tapes because a friend of mine, Orson, that owns Captured Prey, he got the tapes for me. I guess he got them off Taobao or something other last Christmas, and that was my Christmas present from him, the tapes and a couple animation cells from Brave Exkaiser is Dinogeist. You know, and that was my gift. Well, I didn't have the Soundwave, and I saw Soundwave at BotCon this year. The brand new set Soundwave, you know, $100. And I'm like, huh, I already have the tapes, so I don't need the tapes. I wonder if I can sell the tapes for $20 a piece. Free Soundwave. And I did. I have witnesses that saw this, and it worked out in my favor. I didn't really have any money lost, you know, in that. So, but it was a total impulse buy. It's like, okay, I want this.
Yeah. Well, I'm one thing I want to say, Darn, is I have the same thing, but. What has affectionately over at RSC been called Donanomics.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, Donanomics. I grew up in a environment of collecting. My parents collected antiques after they retired, and I was part of that. I would be on the flea market 5 a.m. with a flashlight, middle of a flea market field, going through boxes of toys, going through stuff with my dad. In the winter, we'd stand around fire barrels waiting for trucks to come in for us to go see what they had. And then go back to the fire barrels and wait for the next truck. You know, it was just, you know, that's what you did before you could work. And a lot of the times when it comes to impulse buys, if it's something I want, I'll see, okay, can I sell something to pay for it? Can I, it's part of the not having as much invested. You're still adding physical stuff to your collection. Like you were saying, Duron gets to be a problem. But if you can say, hey, this is on clearance, I can buy two, I can sell one for $2 or $3 more, and mine will only be XYZ.
Yeah.
So it's like you're justifying what you're buying because it's an impulse. But if you can not have as much invested, it's an even better deal.
Yeah, well, and that's how you can actually manage impulse buying. You know, you can add to your collection, even though it's an impulse buy, but reduce the impact on you as a collector financially. I mean, yeah, right. I mean, we're talking, you know, $5 here, $5 there, you know, with these little Legion class figures. That's not so much. But whenever you start getting into, like Sergio said, you know, $85 gift sets, $65 gift sets, you know, that's not chump change to most people. It's not to me. So, and putting them on credit, like Sergio said, can lead to a large problem, you know, in the end. I mean, you know, your credit card bill comes at the end of the month and you're like, oh crap, what am I going to do? I don't have this cash. You know, I'm going to make a payment on it next month. You make some more impulse buys. Plus you get the stuff that you intend to buy. And then you get to, you know, your next credit card bill and you're like, oh crap, it's more than it was last month. You know? So, you know, you keep snowballing that stuff and you find yourself in a hole. And that's what I hope to help people understand with this episode, is that there are ways that you can either lessen that impact or just be a hard ass and crunch down on yourself and say, I'm not going to buy this. It's easier said than done, but there are people that does it.
So, and another thing, you know, going off of what I said about the credit cards, is just keeping track of pre-orders too, because you could pre-order so much stuff and then you forget about things. And it's happened to me before where I forget about something. Then I get the email that you've been charged for this. And I'm like, oh crap, I completely forgot. And now I'm out $100 because I pre-ordered this certain figure.
But if you've already got it, then turn around and flip it. You know, if you're getting a second one. That's one way to lessen the impact. Now, if you're one of those that, you know, like I used to be, buy one, get one, keep sealed, you know, that just compounds it.
Makes it worse.
I'm going to appeal to a few of our listeners that have tweeted on our Twitter account at TFYLP. So if you're listening to us live, you can tweet us at TFYLP. And if we see it, we might mention it live on air. Also, if you're listening to us on the audio version later on, still go right ahead and send us your thoughts of the episode and things that you've encountered. But at TFPFOZ, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce that, but he says he mostly regrets squashing the urge to pick up in-hand stuff when he sees it. Spotty distribution means it hardly ever comes back around. And that's another
exactly
another feeder. Point. That is another feeder for impulse buying. You find something other and you have the money to buy it, but you really want to hold off on it, and you go ahead and buy it anyway because there's that thought in the back of your head, I might not find this again. And so many of us have encountered that so often. There's been times that I've actually done that. I've found something and I'm like, I probably won't find this again, and I'll buy it. And later on, it proved true. I never would see it again. I'm like, man, I'm glad I grabbed that. And then on the other side, I've picked something up. I'm like, oh, I'll find this again. I'll get it later. Set it back down and then never see it again.
Yeah, it's... I mean, the only thing you can do at that point is, like, for example, currently Titans Return Wave 2 has been spotted at several Walgreens. But they're going to run you $18.99, $19.99. But we've all seen the spotty distribution. It took forever to get Wave 1 out. So do you wait and hope to see them later? Do you pick them up?
Especially if it's an exclusive.
Yeah, you know, well, I don't even mean brainstorm. I just mean the regular Wave 2 has been spotted.
Yeah, but so I mean, even still, I mean, if you're if that's another thing that leads to it, is if you find exclusives, you know, a lot of the masterpieces, you know, Soundwave was one that I saw once in Toys R Us, and I'm like, I'll get it later, and went back to get it, and they never got another set in. And I had to get it through other means.
Yeah. Starscream was the same way. They got Starscream. Two boxes of Starscreams. And it's weird because my Toys R Us, they had got in at least 12 or 14 MP10 Optimus Primes for the Christmas that year, because some guy drove from South Carolina and bought six I had bought at least four, one for me and three for friends who have no Toys R Us. I have a friend, his closest Toys R Us literally is 2.5 hours away.
Wow.
So I picked up one for him. You know, I didn't flip them. I just what I paid for them to help my friends out. But Soundwave was like three cases over the course of a month and then never saw them again. It's so hit or miss. You worry that I want this figure, but I don't have the money right now, but it's here and I may not see this thing again.
Yeah. And you know, you wind up, and that is exactly it. You wind up buying it. You don't intend to buy it. You may have the money on you to get it, but not really be able to afford it. If you know what I'm getting at, it's like that money you might need for something else, like a bill, food, gas. But you impulse buy it, and then later on you're like, "Damn, I'm glad I got it, but I wish I hadn't."
Yeah. Generally, you know, the only thing I can suggest in that situation is hang on to your receipt if you get it from a regular store. I mean, so that way, you know, if you have to return it, and I mean, cause a lot of people, a lot of people don't keep their receipts, and you wind up not being able to take it back or getting store credit. And I'm just saying, just hang on to the receipt in case you do have some buyer's remorse. Don't open it up unless, you know, you really want to go ahead and get it. But there's so many factors involved with the impulse buys that you just, like y'all said, it's so hard to just, like, I'm not buying anything. Like Masterpiece, you said, Durham, how many collectors do we know have been selling Generations and Universe off once they get the Masterpiece equivalent of that character?
Yeah. I think that's a whole different thing. That goes into what I want to close the episode with, refocusing your collection.
Yeah,
That falls more under that category there.
Okay.
But I asked on Twitter, several hours ago, do you regret impulse Transformer buys, and can you control yourself? Some guy by the name of Brian Kilby, at B. Kilby, he tweeted, he says...
I think I know that guy. Yeah. I think I know him.
He says, yes, no, please help. and many of us find ourselves in that situation. You know, I don't know how else to get out of it. I mean, you've either got to have nerves of steel and buckle down and say, I'm not going to buy something that I don't want or really need. Right. But you know, so often do we find ourselves in that predicament. And the best way to do it, in my opinion, is either, like I said, just buckle down, don't buy it, cold turkey it, or if you do buy it, you can always either return it, like Don said, with receipt, or sell it later on if you don't need it. You know, find somebody else who does want it. Usually, give it a good home.
Usually what I do, too, is when I'm trying to save money, is I go on my phone and I just physically delete the eBay app so that I'm not tempted to go on it, even if I'm just like...
I have done that before, and then forget my eBay password. Well,
my phone's so old, the eBay app doesn't launch half the time, so that's the sauce problem for me right there.
Oh, listener Robert Waller has an excellent thing.
Hey, Robert.
I've actually befell this recently. Impulse pre-order syndrome, as he calls it. Regret a couple pair of purchases that he pre-ordered. I haven't done that yet, but I've since stopped pre-ordering. Figures don't sell out as fast as they did in the past, and then go on sale more often. But yeah, I mean, as soon as you see something go up for pre-order, you pre-order that sucker. And then later on it comes in, you either don't have the money for it, or you have the money for it, but you had it appropriated for something else, and there's that money gone, you know, because you got to pay for that order. And I'm really bad about pre-ordering stuff. And then later on, I'm like, crap. I want it now, but I've bought this and this and this and this, or I need to buy this and this and this, and I don't have the money for it.
Yeah.
It just compounds itself, and that's the underlying problem of being an impulse buyer.
And something else is that it's not really an impulse buy, but what you were saying about Let's say, for example, we're going to take the upcoming Lyokaiser. That's an Entertainment Earth exclusive. How many people are going to be fighting over that one product? And it's not really an impulse buy, but how many people are going to be buying it? They're really kind of on the fence about getting it, but with it being an exclusive and that much harder to get, are they going to impulse buy to get it because they're going to try to at least know they've got one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Robert Waller also says his latest impulse buy were Peanuts Pop Vinyls and Peanuts Pop Culture Hot Wheels. Those are two things that are really, I think they exist just to be impulse buys. Those damn pop vinyl figures, they really don't serve any purpose. They don't do anything, but they're sometimes cool as hell. I have three of the suckers. I have Rey and BB-8, and I have Ultron. You know, it's like, I couldn't resist it.
I have a couple on my desk at work. Yeah. They're like nice for like little display figures.
Yeah, but they really don't do anything. So they're just essentially, that's all they are, impulse buy stuff.
You know, it's, you know, I kind of wanted to want the Space Ghost one, but I have that 12-inch Space Ghost on pre-order that's coming out later on this year. So I don't need that little pop vinyl one, you know. So I was able to, you know, but I'm also spending $70 for the other one, so.
Yeah. At Cyberwolf on Twitter, he says sometimes he usually regrets buying something other, but only when he buys something that he hasn't seen a review on. Most of the time, I know what I'm getting into. So, you know, if that's another thing, you buy something, you have no idea what to expect from the toy. You just like see it, you instantly want it, you get it, and that's where some buyer's remorse comes from. You know, very seldom. This is something that I personally don't struggle too much with, is buying something that I'm not sure on and then getting it and then having total buyer's remorse. Oh, I wish I hadn't bought that. I generally know what I'm getting before I buy it. It's just some things, whenever I do buy it, it's like, oh, this isn't, you know, I want it, but it's not necessarily my main focus. You know, that's my problem. I at least know what I'm getting, but I've totally get the, I'm buying this, I don't know what it is, but I like it, you know.
Well, it's the thing for me is, having been collecting for so long, you know, I look back, because, you know, next year, or even, let's see, well, the animated, the movies are celebrating their 10-year anniversary. I cannot believe it's been 10 years since the first movie. But looking back at, say, my movie collection, I have a lot of buyer's remorse now for a lot of the movie stuff I bought. It's just, I was caught up in the hype, and I was buying so much of it that, looking back, I wish I had bought maybe half of what I had bought. So the buyer's remorse, it may even take a while. Because there for a while, I loved a lot of the movie stuff. But looking back now at it, it's like,
man, yeah. Why? And that's know, why. Yeah, I even mentioned it on last week's episode when we were talking about movie toys and everything. 99% of the movie stuff is just not down my alley, and I wound up dumping it all. I've got Slog and Strafe, and then I've got the from Age of Extinction, and then I've got the Dark of the Moon Hatchet. That's the only movie toys I own, you know, because I really don't want those toys. And I've had just about every one of the main figures, especially from the first movie all the way through Age of Extinction. I've owned them all, but really never saw any value.
I just have the really good ones, like Human Alliance Barricade.
Yeah.
I mean, I have four Voyager Ironhides. I don't know why. I literally, if you put a gun to my head and said, tell me why you have four Voyager Ironhides, I would have to say, I have no idea, because I don't, because I'm dumb.
It's your hang your head in shame. I have those. Yeah. But, you know, movie stuff, I mean, they're like we said last week, you know, there's lots of good stuff out there. You know, the Revenge of the Fallen, Leader Prime, the Human Alliance Barricade, some great toys there. But ultimately the lines as a whole. I just don't need them, don't have the space for them, don't want them. And so I got rid of them. Yeah. And that is one reason, one way, and 99% of the movie stuff, because the way Hasbro and Takara has been doing the releases for Transformers over the last several years, you have the movie line, and then you have a secondary line like Generations or Combiner Wars or what have you. You know, there's always that second line. That second line is usually the main focus of my collection, and the movie stuff is just ancillary. And ultimately wound up being impulse buys for me. So that's why they were expendable. You know, so.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's just very hard with, you know, especially if you collect, like I said, multiple lines. So, like, if you collect Marvel Legends and you're trying to complete a Build-A-Figure, it's figures you don't want, but you have to buy them, the figures, to get the part. And it's not really an impulse buy, but it's, you know, you collect it, but you know you're not going to find this figure by itself for less than what the total figures cost. So you've got one line doing that. You've got another line that you've been in a drought in, and then something new comes out. So you've got that, ooh, shiny, you know, or something new going on. So the temptation is everywhere. I mean, it's just, you just have to dig deep and say, I'm only going to get X, Y, and Z, and try to stick to it as best you can. That's somewhat ironic coming from me, considering, duh.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we've beat the impulse buying thing over the head enough in this episode. So let's move on to the final topic here of refocusing our collection, especially whenever you get to the point where you realize, okay, I got a lot of crap here I don't need, don't want. And it's time to basically not necessarily just refocus, because sometimes refocus is like, oh, okay, I've been collecting this a while, I'm tired of it, let me shift my focus to this. You know, repurposing things or envisioning what your ideal collection is something that we need to talk about too. When you decide, okay, I'm going to get rid of some of this stuff, why are we going to do it, and when should we do it? Sergio, you have any ideas on that? Your mic's muted. Can we hear you now? No. You're not saying anything. You are mute. Okay. Chad has joined us. Hey, Chad.
Can you hear guys.
Hey. You have some input on the impulse buying and refocusing your collection?
I was watching live, and actually I do. I actually think that I've gotten so focused now that impulse buying has actually went out the window. I've actually started not getting stuff on purpose, if that makes any sense.
It does. Yeah. I mean, it's
like,
go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was saying that I do not buy like certain cassettes from the Titan Wars series, a lot of stuff that's not in my focus range, I don't buy anymore. I used to be a everything guy, and all now I'm not.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know your main focus is like a generation / Combiner Wars Titan Returns. I mean, it's like one continuous thing for you. And you really don't deviate from that unless it really fits with what you're collecting. And that's a good point in that in keeping yourself from impulse buying is know what you're collecting, focus on that. And you know, you'll find yourself not deviating as much. You know, just say, okay, that's not at all what I'm collecting. And that goes to what we were saying, you know, hardline cutting yourself off. Are we having audio issues?
No, I'm muting myself because I don't have a mic tonight.
Oh.
So I'm going to have to moderate my sound. I don't want a bunch of background noise while you guys are talking or any echoes.
Okay.
So,
Sergio, did you get your mic fixed? That is a negative. I don't know what's going on. Well, Don, refocusing your collection. When should you do it and how should you do it?
When you're not 46 years old, that's when you should. Because I have not, you've gone through several purges and refocuses. I have not. Other than selling off bits and pieces here and there, I have not got to the point where, well, I have in my head where it's like, okay, and we've talked about this before, and when it's time to start getting serious about selling. I have not done that yet, and I need to because I have so much stuff.
Hello?
Ah, there we are.
Yay.
Yay. So I have not done that. I have started small, like you were saying, if I have the masterpiece, the version, I have been selling off my generations. A few I am keeping here or there because I fell in love with the Generations box art. And as far as the packaging in general. So there's a few I'm keeping for strictly display purposes. I unfortunately have not forced myself to say, okay, it's time to get this crap out of here and make my collection more manageable. So I need to do that, but I have put so much effort and time and money and to make this collection what it is, it's very hard to let go. I've tried cutting back on the impulse buys. I don't really succeed all that. I succeed better than I used to, but during that last sale at Big Bag, I picked up something that has no place in my collection. It was one of those 3A toys.
Oh, wow.
It was on sale for about $75 off. It's that tank that transforms into the robot. I think Vangelis did a review of it. And I've wanted one. I forgot about it. Then it was on sale. So I got it. Again, it was an impulse buy, but price was the main reason, and I did want it. So I'm not the best person to ask as far as refocusing. I have started, but I haven't just said, okay, get rid of the crap, and I need to.
Okay. Sergio, now that your mic is back, you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, if you're going to sell your collection or just a single line, you have to make sure that you do it at the right time because certain lines will dip in price after a certain time or certain figures will get hot. And if you're thinking about selling something, just make sure that you don't think about it too long. You got to make a decision whether or not you want to do it because if you wait too long figure that's worth $50, maybe a couple months down the road will only be worth $20 because maybe, you know, the
classics,
next new
classics
thing.
Are a perfect example of this. I mean, I remember a time when classics were going for top dollar, you know, classic Sunstreaker, you know, sealed was like $80, you know, or more, you know, and now you can get one, what, 20, 30, if that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
even some of like the exclusives, like the 2-pack Magnus, was going for like ridiculous prices. Sealed were like $200,
mm-hmm.
And now you can find Magnus by himself for like $20-$30.
Yeah, and it's just picking a time and also identifying what and when you want to do it, and everybody's collection and everybody's time is different. We can't just sit here and tell you, oh, this is when you should do it, and this is, you know. We can tell you the hows, but only you really know when, you know, and sometimes even if the price is not right, honestly, if you just want to get rid of the stuff, you don't want it anymore. You need the space. It's taking up space on your shelf. I have sold stuff and I didn't really give a damn how much, you know, if I got enough out of it, you know, You know, yeah. I've sold things, and you know, I have Unite Warriors Defense Ore on pre-order from Capture Prey. So I didn't need. I already had the Combiner Wars, and I didn't need the Combiner Wars version. So I sold it, and I sold it for about $20 less than I had in it. You know,
my friend actually bought that too.
Yeah, and locals. Yeah, and it wasn't. You know, it wasn't any skin off my back. You know, it just got it freed up room in my collection. I know I'm going to get my Unite Warriors one, so you know, no love lost there. So
yeah, currently my entire Prime collection, which is pretty much everything that they put out, sans the Legends figures, sitting in storage right now, and I've just been thinking, you know, should I sell it? Should I sell it? And
You're not even looking at it, that's a good point too. If you've got it and you can't even display it, and it's not out where you can see it, enjoy it, you know, even visually, or pick it up and mess with it from time to time, if it's just sitting in storage, I've got a question: do you really need it?
I think that's a good question for our listeners. They can tweet or reply on the group.
Yeah, yeah. Chad, do you have any other further thoughts on this?
I think he's also having
audio. No, not really. I'm actually trying to get to where I have a mic, so I actually haven't been really paying attention or listening so much. But let me get my mic ready, and then I'll be back to talk.
Well, I was actually thinking we need to we was going to wrap up, but I do want to have you on here because there's something that I think you might want to mention on here about a funding thing.
I mean, as many people probably know, because I know you've mentioned it before, I have a terminal illness. I have liver cancer, and I have a GoFundMe page. You can look it up. You can hit me up on Facebook. There's also a Facebook page called My Journey with Liver Cancer, I believe is what it's called.
My Journey of Life, hopefully.
Yep, Journey of Life. And if you go there, there's links to the GoFundMe page. But a lot of medical bills. I've got over it's well over 200,000 now since I spent last week in the hospital. But if you guys could help or whatever, you know, it's great. But if you can't, you know, prayers, honestly, I need the miracle. I need good thoughts and prayers, good karma, all that good stuff. So I would greatly appreciate anything at this point, or just sharing the link between you and your friends and absolutely spreading the word.
And I'm going to post it in the TFYLP group here shortly. But you know,
even if it's like a dollar,
if it's a dollar adds up. You know, if we get 500 people donating $1, it's $500 that can help Chad out at this time. You know, medical bills are piling up, and you know, we don't normally ask for people to send money for anything or anything like this, but this is a special occasion, and Chad is one of our own, and we look at him like a brother, and just to have him on the show tonight. I mean, I'm so surprised to see you pop on, but very pleasantly happy to see you on. But you know, we know the struggles that you're going through, and you know, if we can help as a listenership and as a fandom, help out one of our own who is going through an extremely difficult time. You know, like I said, even if it's a buck, just help him out. Help him out. Really appreciate it. Chad, is there anything else on that matter that you want to tell the listeners?
No. Actually, yeah, I do. Actually, you know, you had David Kay as a special guest from when you were at TF Expo, and you actually made one of my bucket lists things come to reality, and I greatly appreciate you, Daron, for everything and how you made that happen. Just so the listeners know, before he went live with David Kay, David Kay spent about 10 minutes on the phone with me, talking to me about my situation and everything, gave me his email address and, you know, all that so I can keep him up to date. But David Kay was one of the people on my bucket list to talk to, and Duran made it happen. So I greatly appreciate that, and that's pretty much why I call him my best friend. So thank you, Duran.
Thank you, man. But, you know, back on the topic here, you know, I want to help Chad out in every way we can. And, like I said, I'll post the GoFundMe link in the, TFYLP group. And I'll also tweet it on Twitter, whenever, we go off, go off air. But you know, I know through many talks that I've had with Chad, and things, refocusing our collections, we've actually discussed between ourselves, all over the phone. It's like, you know, I have this, should I keep this? Should I not? And appealing to your fellow fans, you know, and fellow collectors that you might have locally, asking their thoughts on stuff. You know, sometimes you might have an impulse buy, or even if it's not an impulse buy, things that you've been actively collecting, like my Weird Beasts collection in the Transformers. You know, I intend to buy that stuff. I actively look for that stuff. It's something that I cultivate in my collection. But I'm getting to a point now, it's like, I want the room for stuff that I want more, you know. And, you know, I talking to some of my friends, some of them agree with me. Some of them say, no, man, you should keep that stuff. You know, it's really, really cool stuff, you know, and it helps formulate in my head what I want to do with this stuff. And ultimately the decision is yours. If you want to keep it. If you decide you need to sell it, then there's nothing wrong with selling that. And who knows, by talking to friends, you might find friends that's like, hey, I've been looking for that. You know, I know you had one, and, you know, I'll buy it off of you. You know, you might have an instant sale right there. I've actually done that. So, you know, it's something that you can, it's a problem that you can tackle without doing it by yourself. You know, and that's one of the ways that Chad and I have become such close friends is talking about things such as this very topic right here. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
I think you pretty much sort of hit all the main things right there, Jordan, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Sergio, you have any thoughts left on that?
Yeah, I mean, this, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, this really is an addiction. You know, obviously it's not to the level of a substance abuse, but
a plastic crack, you know.
there have been times where I found myself with very little money in my bank account, and I've stepped back and said, you know what, I need to control myself. And self-control is very important in this hobby, because you can, especially like you said at conventions, it's like you can go from spending like hundreds of dollars within minutes.
Well, Chad, you and I actually had a very discussion on this very topic not too long ago, actually.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, you wanna tell people about that?
Well, there's actually a couple different conversations we had, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
One was your trip to TF Expo, and the amount of money you took, and what you took with you, and what you did to, you know, kind of make some money. And then I can't remember the other conversation exactly. So I remember the TF Expo one a little more prevalent than I do the one we had.
The number one thing was I paid my bills before I went. I made sure my bills were paid. I would have a roof over my head. I would have my car insurance, all that stuff. And I made sure I had some food here in the house. I made sure that my necessities were taken care of. And, you know, we're sitting here making light of this, but let's be frank. Every collector, unless you make buku money, you know, and there's some of us out there that do, congrats. But you know, I don't. So, you know, I'll buy something other, but I've got bills to pay. I'm a single income household. So, you know, sometimes I'll spend pretty much everything I got, you know, and that's just the way I exist. Some people aren't comfortable doing that. And I get that. But as long as my necessities are covered, you know, everything else is, you know, I only live once and I'm going to enjoy it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But make sure your stuff is taken care of before you do it. I've been in the position
about that.
I have been in the position, and this was the other discussion that we had, Chad. I thought you might want to tell about, we joked about the ramen noodles earlier, but let's go back to that that little discussion there.
Okay, well, I remember a time back right after I'd met my wife. We had just been married. Let's see, we weren't even married a year yet. We got our paycheck, because we worked together and had our own business at the time. We got our paycheck, and I pretty much spent all the money on Transformers. Believe it or not, it was the time where that huge Starscream had come out, and I was down in Texas, and I seen, like, the whole new wave.
Oh, that was around Cybertron, wasn't it? Transformers,
yeah.
Cybertron, yeah.
Yes, sir. So I bought the whole wave. When we left, we had enough money to eat on and no, pay no bills. So, yeah, I've done some stupid stuff. Collections.
Yeah.
In collecting.
And this goes hand in hand with her impulse buying. You know, I guarantee you saw that stuff. You're like, hey, I want it. I'm going to get it now. And you didn't have that cognitive thought. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this right now. It's like the Ian Malcolm from Jurassic Park. You thought about how much you should, but you didn't never did stop to think whether or not you knew that you could, but you never did stop to think if you should.
Yeah, you know what? I did learn soon thereafter that I do have a conscience, and she is named Mrs. Williams, and my conscience is mean.
Hmm.
when I spend all the money. So, yeah. So we don't do that anymore. In fact, I feel guilty almost any time I buy anything now. So,
well, you know, honestly, you know, there is a time whenever, you know, if you're a collector, you're going to have times when you feel guilty about buying something other. But let's be honest. You really can't enjoy something other if you have that guilt attached to it. I know myself, if I buy something other and I have guilt about it, I'm going to turn around and sell something, sell that as soon as I can, you know, and I hate that feeling. And I've been there too many times as a collector, you know, because if you have that guilt attached to it, you know, I mean, whether it's temporary guilt or long-term guilt, temporary guilt is like, I bought this, I should have spent the money on this, but, you know, you stick it out, and eventually you come out good in the end, you still have your toy, but there's that short-term guilt that you have with it. And then there's the long-term guilt when you buy something and you wish you hadn't, you really shouldn't have, and you buy it.
Energon.
Yeah. And then years later, you're like, you're still out that money. You still wish you didn't have it. You still have it, and you can't sell it for what you got in it. You know, and that is true buyer's remorse right there. And
now, I've actually went through the full gambit. I don't know about anybody else, but I had a situation where, you know, they come out with Masterpiece stuff. I bought the Masterpiece stuff, and I got rid of all of the alternators. And as times went along, I've gotten rid of all my Masterpiece stuff. Now I'm just a retail buyer pretty much. and that's very selective. Yeah. But there's still that guilt in the back of my mind for getting rid of my alternators. Now I actually wanted, because I liked them so much, I kind of like to go back and get them. But I know at this point I'm not going to.
But you know, in your favor, alternators, in your favor, though, alternators are actually pretty darn cheap right now because, you know, a lot of the masterpieces have been released that are better versions of those characters, per se.
Right.
And most alternators you can pick up for $20 or less now. I think there's only a couple that aren't $20, but
yeah, that Mirage and that Hot Rod, that GT90 body seems to be the highest.
Yeah, ironically from Kiss players.
there you mentioned Kiss players again, but yeah, I mean alternators is actually something, you know. I've actually repurposed my collection or refocused my collection because of reinvigorated interest in things that I've actually once had before and sold and went back and got. You know, a good example is right hanging right behind me, the Generation 2 Cyberjets. I used to have – no, excuse me. Charlie's is coming back on me. I used to have all the Cyberjets. I had them sealed and I had them loose. Love those little guys. They're flashy. They're cool. They're interesting to me, you know. And now I've got reinvigorated interest in them, and I'm going back and getting them again. I've got them all loose, and now I've got Hooligan and Space Case sealed, and I'm going back and getting all the rest of them sealed. And, you know, it's not impulse buying because I've refocused myself on what I want. You know, it's something I once had sold because I lost interest, refocused, and then I've reinvigorated my interest in them. And there's nothing wrong with that either because, you know, I don't know how many times I've done that. I mean, it seems like there's something else. Oh, the Robots in Disguise, the 1.0, the Car Brothers, Sideburn, X-Brawn, and Prowl. Rail Racer is another one. I've owned those on three separate occasions. I bought them the original time, whenever they first came out, and sold them. Reinvigorated interest in them, bought them again, had them for a while. They didn't fit my collection, so I sold them again. And lo and behold, a couple years later, man, I wish I hadn't sold those. Go back and get them again.
I kind of did the same thing with War for Cybertron Grimlock, but that was me just trying to like the figure because it was a Grimlock and I couldn't, so I kept taking it back because I like, oh, it's on sale, maybe I like it. Oh, I still don't like it. So I bought that mold three times trying to make myself like it, and I just couldn't.
Yeah, and it's not and with me, it wasn't necessarily that I fell into disfavor with the molds or with the characters or anything like that. It's just that I still like them, but there were things that I wanted more. And now I still need a RID Prowl. I sold that one and I foolishly sold it. And it was one that didn't have any cracks in the doors or the tires. I wish I could find another one because I still got my Sideburn and my X-Brawn, and I've got the clear versions, and I don't intend on selling those again because, you know, those molds are gone, and, you know, it's just replacing them is something that would be really difficult to do now. I mean, not necessarily, but I mean, down the road, I could see it being potentially difficult.
I keep hoping we'll actually get masterpiece versions of the Car Robot Brothers, so they've got a little more room. I mean, they would look. I mean, with the extra room, it may not be quite as hard to transform them, but I think they will look great as masterpiece figures.
Yeah. I mean, some of them would be. But you guys have any other closing thoughts before a wrap up?
I was listening to you guys, and I thought that, you know, I actually kind of went a different path. You know, you bought the same things over and over and over again. Well, I actually bought, like, the newer updated version of like Ape Link. You know, so I want Beast Wars stuff, but I kind of want the newer updated versions of the mold or of the, you know, the characters. So that's something else that's kind of I don't know if it actually goes in this topic or if it's actually a separate topic, but you know, that's something that came to mind when you were talking.
Yeah. And you know, if I know he needs the money more, but if fans have figures that falls in his collection and you don't want them and might want to donate them to him, I'm sure Chad would be happy to take them. You know, you collect what, Combiner Wars, Titan Returns, and some Beast stuff, the updated Beast stuff like Generations.
Some of the Beast stuff. I've got all the Generations Beast stuff. And then, you know, I've been buying club toys, trying to fill in holes. You know, there's a few out there that I have or that I'm missing, but.
Well, Chad, just to let you know, don't run out and pre-order Megatronia. She's a little pricey. You know, have you seen that yet? The Takara version of Victorion?
No.
She's called Megatronia. She's in some very interesting color schemes, and she's retailing at U.S. retailers for about $175.
She's insanely crazy.
She's a little pricey right now.
Yeah,
you can ask Daron. I really don't. Very rarely do I buy Takara. The one that I did like that I got that I ordered and I haven't paid for yet. It's on hold. Is
Unite Orders
the Takara version of Computron?
Well, that actually, I think a lot of people are getting their pre-orders from a lot of online stores this week.
Yeah, he's getting ready to hit now. Well, he's because he's on the tail end of Combiner Wars / Unite Warriors, and I think he's the last mass release, and then Lyle Kaiser is like the final exclusive.
Oh, that's so dreadful.
In Combiner.
That's gonna be
up. But you know, I think we've kind of ran this topic this course tonight, but I think we've covered some great things. I think we've give the fans some interesting things to think about, some interesting and some ways to deal with it. You know, I know one thing that even just talking and it's something I knew about, but even just talking about it with you guys on here and hearing things that you said makes me realize, hey, I'm not alone in this. You know, I'm not the only one that's thought this way. I'm not the only one that's done this. I'm not the only one, you know, like the ramen noodle things. I don't know how many people I've talked to that's, you know, bought toys and then eating ramen noodles and bread and butter and drank water for the remainder of the week because you didn't have enough money. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's right, but people do it. And I'm sure if somebody hears this out there that's listening to us or watching us, that have done that, you know, maybe you won't feel so bad about what you've done. But you know, that is something you need to watch, because toys do not come before, food, family, bills, things like that.
Be a responsible adult.
Be responsible. That's what we're trying to say here, but still have fun. There's no reason you can't have fun.
And this is coming from, you know, basically 40-plus-year-old guys, and Sergio, I don't know your age, so I'm not even
going to say that. I bet it's Sergio.
Sergio's actually starting out. You know, he's on the younger spectrum of our show. But, you know, this is also giving him tools to become a better collector and more responsible collector down the road. You know, I mean...
That's one thing as collectors we have to remember is there's new fans all the time. We have to pass our what we may classify as wisdom may not be wisdom out in the real world, but
toy wisdom.
our toy wisdom. We must pass this along to the younger generation so they don't make the mistakes that we did and end up being us.
Or if they do make those mistakes, realize, hey, there is an answer to this, and this has been done before, and this is how I can deal.
Yeah, it's better than, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's Astro Train.
It's coming for me.
Hey, the thing is just remember there's Plastic Cracks Anonymous and all those help groups that can possibly help, including TFYLP. So be sure to contact one of them if you feel like you have a big problem.
Well,
this is your piece to say for the day.
Help is a little subjective, maybe.
Yeah, the TFYLP helpline is always open on Twitter at TFYLP and also on Facebook in the Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure Facebook group. I think this has ran the course of our show tonight. Chad, I want to say one more time, it is an absolute honor to see you again on here.
Sorry I joined late. I've been watching, but until you said a couple of things, I didn't think my opinion needed to be said, because you guys said pretty much everything I had said, so, or I thought. So,
but I understand, you know, probably more than a lot of guys here, but what you're going through is an ordeal, and just the fact that you've got the strength to come on tonight and talk is an absolute. It's a great feeling, and it's great to see you on here. We're behind you 100%. I want to say that again. And, you know, I don't want to end the episode on a down note, but at the same time, we want to help pick you up and support you in every way we can as fellow fans and friends.
Definitely.
I think we've lost him on here. Thank you, Google. Yes. But anyway, this has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 214. I have been Daron Land. Along with me has been Chad Williams, Headmaster Don, and Sergio Garcia. We will see you next time on TFYLP, and watch those impulse buys. Take care, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Later, y'all.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.